Open our Bibles back to the 11th chapter of Romans, brothers and sisters, and so thankful to God, and that's Romans 11. And we left off last week in the 23rd and 24th verse, and we left off with the precious warning. Again, this magnified in this 11th chapter up to this point. It magnified that the Lord was speaking to Israel as a nation and to the Gentiles as a nation. And we left off the warning to the Gentile nations. And they're referred to as the wild olive branch. And the Lord encouraged them and said, look, don't be high-minded. Don't depart from the word of my grace. Because just as Israel, you will be broken off too. And Israel being a good branch, oh my, the Lord telling them as well too, they're right there to be grafted in again. Now, God is always gracious and merciful. And even though the Lord knows in his word, let me tell you something, he is the word, and the word was God. Amen. The word knows. Word searches hearts, knows the intents, knows the sincerity. I thank God that I learned that at a young age. And then as a teenager, and then again and again and again, how much he knows us and how he's for us and how he searches us and how he knows us better than we ever would know ourselves. He knows those places we don't even understand in our lives, as Brother David said, to search me, O Lord. David came to the place, you know what? The only thing I'm capable of is doing something wrong. Evil, unbelief, murmuring, all those things. Search me, O Lord. Only you can perform the good work which you've begun. And I thank the Lord how, you know, Brother Paul was given that complete dispensation, thanking him how what they were speaking of in so many ways, God just expanded on it for us and shone that light upon light, because we do have exceeding great and precious promises. But brothers and sisters, even though God knows what's going to happen, and they are going, Israel is going to be grafted back in. It's the promise. It's the remnant. It's going to be. And those Gentile nations, brothers and sisters, they're going to turn. And they're going to turn against God. And that time is coming near. Israel right now, we know, and has been since the 1940s, has been gathering back to Palestine. And as it says in Zechariah 14, 1 and 2, the Lord will gather all nations against Israel to battle. So understand that. See, we have to make sure we're not confusing the goat and the sheep nations. That's a time that will be in the millennium. That's a time that the ones that had feigned obedience to God, meaning that during that 1,000 years, there's going to be a peace, there's going to be a rest. God is going to give the throne to his son. Israel is going to reign. But at the end of that time of the millennium, the devil is going to be loosed for a season because he's not going to be thrown into the lake of fire until the end of the millennium. Now, when he is loosed at that time, then you're going to find out which nations were sincere and which nations had a feigned or a fake obedience, in a sense, to the Lord. And at that time, there will be nations that will be called the sheep nations and goat nations. But at this time, brothers and sisters, that we're going into for the tribulation period, God is going to have all nations come to battle against Israel. We need to understand these things. It's going to be God and God alone. It makes the hair stand up on my arms. He's just going to show. He don't need any help. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to show you how wicked man is. But I'm going to show you my faithfulness, because my grace omnipotent reigns. And I thank the Lord that it does. But even the United States, and some people have a hard time with that. And brothers and sisters, I don't want you to think that it's just now. This isn't any I'm not stupid. The animosity towards Israel has been growing and growing and growing for many years. But let me tell you something. The evil of man is going to grow worse and worse. It's going to wax worse and worse. And with every generation, if the Lord tarry, with every administration, all of those different things, it's going to grow more towards this animosity towards Israel. So let me tell you something. It's not about flesh and blood. It's about spiritual wickedness in high places. It is. And I thank God that we know these things. But praise be to God, Israel is about to be grafted back in. Hallelujah. And Israel will forever trust God. The unfaithful wife will again forever be faithful to God. Isn't that wonderful? That's exciting, and the Lord's really gripped my heart with that. Now, going on, we're going to pick it up here in the 25th verse of the 11th chapter. And brothers and sisters, I think this is one of the most glorious verses in the whole Word of God. So let's just allow Him, as He's holding us tight, let's embrace Him tonight. Praise God. So verse 25. So Brother Paul says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." And again, of all of these things that he's been speaking here about Israel and them being grafted in and how the Gentiles, again, are going to be turning against Israel as God deals with them. And he says, "Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." See, we know that the Lord has already ministered to us that because of Israel's falling away, that gave the opportunity for the Gentiles, praise God, to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That they could, that wild olive branch could be grafted in. And thank the Lord that He is not a respecter of person. He is to all, whether it's the Jew or the Greek. Thank God that precious ministering of His grace and truth has gone forth to all men, for He would have all men to be saved. We know these things. But I thank God that there's even more to that, and that's what he's saying here. That blindness, in part, has happened to Israel. So this blindness and the deafened ears right now that is upon Israel is not just for the purpose, in a sense, of because there's deeper types in what is being spoken of here, not just for the Gentiles to be saved, but if you really get into, and we're going to talk about this just for a moment, so the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now I want you to listen to that. Even Israel's restoration in part is in a holding pattern. The restoration of Israel is in a holding pattern right now until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now I want you to listen to this. These are some precious definitions. And again, these are some of the scholars. And I thank the Lord that at least they've defined it, I believe, adequately. But see, as important and even more important than defining it is believing it and receiving it rightfully divided in the Word of God. But listen to what this fullness means in the sense of the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Fullness means the completeness or the fullness of the riches in the New Testament believers with the presence, the power, the agency, and the riches of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. I know that as, brothers and sisters, to be filled with all the fullness of God. And I thank God for that. And I thank the Lord that those that, these are those that have yielded and surrendered to the riches of the word of His grace. And have taken the word of His grace, brothers and sisters, and in taking that, you'll grow up into the fullness, the measure, the stature of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As the word of God says, unto a perfect man, that finished, hallelujah, masterpiece of grace. And until that is come in, and that means all of it is complete, until the wife's body is finished, and you think about come in, and I thank the Lord for that, come in where? Well, into heaven in a sense, raptured in the air, until the bride is taken, brothers and sisters, only then does the seven-year countdown even begin to happen to Israel's reign. That's, again, it won't be for 7 years after that because we know that that will be the millennial time when Israel reigns. But that's how much the bride is the glory, praise God, to the light. And I thank Jesus for that. And I thank the Lord. And we need to understand, brothers and sisters, throughout the Word of God, there's many layers. Don't think. You know, the truth is the truth. But don't just leave it and say, well, it just couldn't say that. It can't say that. You don't have to bend anything. Just read the Word of God and allow the Spirit to minister to your heart. And I'll tell you what, that fullness is such a precious testimony of what's going on in the ones that are fully purposed for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. Are all believers, do they manifest the presence, the power, the agency of the riches of God in Christ? Absolutely not. Most of them are floundering around. A lot of Christians, you don't even know if they're a Christian. And I'm not trying to judge, that's not my business, but it's just a fact. And God expresses this to us in the seven churches, in the things of that nature. But these ones that have that fullness, that joy unspeakable and full of glory, let me tell you something. Those are the ones, hallelujah, that will be the pinnacle of this fullness that is being spoken of here. But I want to make sure that everyone understands as well too, that the bride's rapture only begins the process. It's not finished up. I understand there's a finishing in this. It's the bride's rapture only starts the tribulation. But after that time, soon after, there'll be the ministering of the two witnesses to Israel. Then there'll, again, throughout that great tribulation, and then there'll be the great tribulation, and the 7-year period will be wrapped up. And then the 1,000-year reigning Israel will lead the nations. The 12 disciples, praise God, will rule over the 12 tribes. But it will not even begin to happen until he that hinders is taken out of the way. Praise the Lord. Do you see how precious this bride, and by his grace, do you see how precious this proposal ministering to you is to him? It's the pinnacle of everything. Everything is waiting, praise the Lord, on the union of Christ and his bride. It's wonderful. It's so exciting. Nothing's going to take place, in a sense, of that wondrous wrap-up of the judgment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon this world and all of those things until he has his wife. I praise God for that. And I understand as well too, now this fullness speaks of all of God's people that will be of the body, that will be in heaven and things of that nature. That has to happen, you understand. But even after that, the great tribulation has to finish up as well too. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation before Israel will reign as the nation upon this earth. So we understand that is as well too. But praise be to God that we know that none of this breaks forth until Christ Jesus has his bride. Now going on to verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. Isn't that something? You ever read that to some Jewish people that don't believe? I have. And I kind of to rib them a little bit, but at the same time to preach the word. This is what the word of God says. And that gathering back in Palestine and all. See, it can't be denied. Even the ornery, ignorant, obviously, speaking of a lot of the sinners there as well too in that. They can't prevent the word of God from coming forth. They're going to do exactly what the word of God said that they would do. And it's precious to see it. But it says here, so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. Now again, all Israel is not going to be saved until we get to that millennium time. That's when it's going to be. That's when, praise the Lord, as we've been rejoicing in this. And that's what's such a precious promise to Israel. They are the nation that is going to go out and preach to all the nations. They're the ones that are going to preach to every creature. Isn't that going to be wonderful? I just thank God for that. You're looking there. You don't know which ones. I just, again, not to provoke anybody to an anger, but, you know, you might even say, well, you just might be one of those missionaries someday going over here and there telling them about Jesus. Can you imagine? So praise the Lord. I hope that kind of makes you smile thinking about many of your friends that might be Jewish that don't know the Lord as Savior. I pray if they don't receive Christ now, many that I know, Lord, spare them to this point to see you as Savior. Praise the Lord. All right, going on. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. Isn't that wonderful? He is. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, remember this, the reason that they use the name Jacob is because Jacob is Israel. Remember, God changed his name to Israel. So he represents, in a sense, the nation. So it isn't the unfaithfulness of Jacob as a person. We know that God, by his grace, made Jacob faithful. But the nation Israel, hallelujah, shall turn away from all of their ungodliness. And we're thankful for that. And it's a wonderful thing. And hallelujah, how God protects them. And their Redeemer, hallelujah, their Deliverer, their true Messiah, God, hallelujah, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, destroys the foes and sets them in their place to God. Isn't that going to be mighty? Praise the Lord. And that's another, you talk about the manifold blessings and benefits to being in that bridal rapture, brothers and sisters, to be in that, in a sense, not that he needs the assistance, but he wants that. We are part of that host, that precious sense of that army, and doling out the judgment and bringing forth these things. I thank the Lord how the bride rules and reigns jointly together with Jesus Christ. And how exciting this is going to be to cheer the champion of our faith and to see the word of God rolling forth and the manifestation of he that is faithful and true. And I am so thankful that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. What glory, hallelujah, to our Savior. And what a precious time of rejoicing this will be. And we thank him for that. So going on, 27 and 28. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Isn't that incredible? You talk about grace, brothers and sisters. This is amazing. And it's all because of God's promise. Amen. It's all because of God's covenant. Praise the Lord. It's all because, hallelujah, it's impossible for him to lie. He will restore Israel, who is right now the unfaithful wife. He's going to restore her as his forever faithful wife. And even though right now, and they have been enemies of the gospel, God's promise and mercy is greater than their sins. Isn't that wonderful? What a testimony of the faithfulness of God. And I'll tell you, in a lot of ways, you know how wicked, that blindness has made the nation at this time. And in many ways, a lot of the mockery and indignant and defiance is promoted forth from that. But see, God knows what he's doing. His grace is going to be magnified like nothing else. And it is, hallelujah. There's nothing else to magnify but his grace. But it's going to be that way, and we're thankful, again, how he just sets it up that way. It's going to be my grace alone. Verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Again, you talk about grace. See, it's his word, brothers and sisters. It's his word. You know, we get caught up into a lot of things that we need to do. Let me tell you something. He's done it. He's finished it. Hallelujah. It's his word. It's true. His promises can't be broken. They are yea and amen. And we thank the Lord for that. Verses 30 through 32. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. So see, he speaks right there back to the Gentiles. See, he's talking to the Gentiles now. For as in times past ye have not believed, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. See, again, Israel had to turn away so the Gentiles could come in. That's exactly it. And we're so thankful that his own received him not. And that's when he turned in his perfect plan to the Gentiles. But here in verse 31, even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. So there is a consistent theme, whether it's to the Jew or to the Gentile, it's mercy. It's grace. Hallelujah. It's the same. Isn't it wonderful? And thank the Lord that we're all dead and our trespasses and sin. Going to magnify that over and over and over. But God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love. And I'll tell you, it is great love, isn't it? I think about those conversations with Moses. And it was just precious to see that. Let's wipe them out. No, you can't do that, God. Your promises. And then God's just encouraging Moses in that. You know that God wasn't going to do that. But then, not too long after that, Moses said, you know what, God, let's just wipe it out. Let's go ahead and start over. So see, even Moses was reminded, you know, Moses, you don't have any goodness. Just kind of getting back at you. Do you see that was for Moses' sake? Isn't that wonderful? It just thrills you how wonderful he is. He even shows us, I'll tell you, we can get awfully mad, can't we? And it's going to be the grace of God. We don't have any goodness, even if we think we do. But praise his name for his wonderful faithfulness to us. But it's going to only be his grace and his mercy. It's only going to be his promises of all that grace and mercy that will always be magnified. In his faithfulness and mercy, it is always grace upon grace, whether it is to the Jew or to the Gentile. What a magnificent plan of grace. Do you see how man could not have ever even fathomed this? It's just beyond perfection, isn't it? And the perfection is always in his grace. That's what's so beautiful. And you stand back, and as the Spirit ministers and gives you understanding in this, and that's why man can't see this. They might see it as some literary class or some study in a seminary or something of that nature. You'll never get it that way. You'll never understand this, even begin to in your mind looking at it that way. This is the Word. This is God. Hallelujah. This is the everlasting. And I thank the Lord. There's no power that be but of this precious Word. And thank the Lord that we know that. And he has encouraged us in it. But see, this only even magnifies a little bit more or emphasizes how putrid any of our good thoughts, brothers and sisters, or our self-works would be to merit any favor with God. He's showing us that it's always, again, going to be his mercy. It's going to be his grace. Verse 33, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Now, that's, in a sense, twofold here. It's wonderful thinking about, oh, the riches, the depths, and the wisdom of the knowledge of God, thinking of that as God's. But what about to us? Oh, the depth. This is how personal it is, of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, that we know him. This is ours, that we know him. See, people stand back and say, oh, the knowledge and the wisdom of God. No, but to know that for ourselves, because that's what he wants us to know. And to know what? To know the love of Christ. And we grow in grace, that's the love, and in the knowledge, and he's love, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, all pointing always to that. We thank God for that. So, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Thank God for these things. But we know by his Spirit, yea, the deep things of God. But see, what it's speaking here of is the only way that you'll ever get this. The only way we'll have the knowledge and a vision, praise God, is to have a knowledge and a vision of the grace of God that's all in Christ Jesus. You'll never see anything unless you see Jesus. You'll never see the Word because he is the Word. You try to see the Word without Jesus, you can't do that because Jesus is the Word. There you're going back to your literary class. You can't do it. You'll never see it. You have to see Jesus. Religions will have this Bible, but they don't want to see Jesus. And because he is the Word. He's divine. He's the only begotten Son of God. So without that, you'll never venture into the understanding. And it tells you very clearly why. For man's thoughts aren't God's thoughts. The man's ways are not God's ways, because his ways are past finding out. But by faith, brothers and sisters, see, even though his ways are past finding out, but by faith we can believe, and by faith we receive. Amen. See, I don't have to understand, in a sense, why. I just believe that he is. And praise God, he delivers. And that's all I need to do. I don't want to say why. I don't want to ask why. I just want to believe, Lord, you're the I am. You withhold nothing good from us. And again, it's all in just surrendering to the Word of God, that he is God. Thank the Lord that by faith we can believe this. And praise God, especially believe, hallelujah, that he wants us to and he wills us to, if we're willing to take the grace to come to a full knowledge of the truth. Isn't that wonderful? See, to really know him, to know him in that most intimate way. All right, let's close it up with 34 through 36. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? You know, those are all, I guess, rhetorical questions, wouldn't you say, huh? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. He's God. there's some people, you know, they just want to sit there and argue with you. And I don't know what you don't want to even understand about what the definition of God is. There's nothing higher. Period. I am. Hallelujah. But see, you'll never understand God until, well, truly, you can't call him Father without the Son. So again, it's Jesus. Now, that's what we're speaking of here again. See, all things consist, all things hold together. Everything was made. Without him, nothing was made. Do you see that again? It's Jesus. So man can't see any of this. They can have a thought, imagine all of these different things, but it falls completely short because it has to be in Christ. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. So 34 through 36 says it all. It's all of him. It's all through him. To him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. And see, that finishes it, brothers and sisters. It does. It just finishes it. And in finishing it, believe it. Believe it, brothers and sisters. Live it and praise God. Then you'll reign. But the other side of that equation is, well, I guess you can wrestle with it. I guess we can reason with it. And in those cases, we know what wrestling and reason bring about. We will be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We'll be tossed to and fro with every new empty thought of man and every religious gimmick. But for the grace of God, there go I. You'll get away from the Word of God. God help us, brothers and sisters, because I'll tell you what. You can be weak. When you don't feed, you get weak. And when you get weak, you entertain things. You don't stand because you don't have the strength. And that's what the Word of God does, is it builds us up. It strengthens us. It gives us a completeness, a fullness. I thank the Lord that you get so full in him, nothing else can come in. none of those thoughts that try to sway you or rock you. God has shown us, every one of us, since we've walked with the Lord, have had times in our life where we've been complacent, or where maybe we've had a time where we went I need a break. God's not about breaks. He's just not. He's about a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and that's what he's after. And you know, as the Lord in his great mercy and grace how his ministering to you in those times, it does break your heart. It brings that contrite spirit, and he gives grace to the humble. And I thank him for these things. But when we turn away from the depths of the truth, and there's many that have given testimonies and things of that nature that have been in this meeting and heard the whole counsel of God and went away from it, got caught up into the most ungodly things you could imagine, under just absolute doctrines of devils. But again, anything that is not Christ preached is antichrist, no matter how good it appears or how close it seems. Let me tell you something, the great counterfeit truly is the great whore. And that's something that has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof, which is Jesus Christ, the Lamb, the Word of God. So, we know that, brothers and sisters, he's encouraging us that it is finished. I thank God that his word, his promises are yea and amen. And it is just a matter of time till we see all of it fulfilled. So let us wait. Let us endure. Let us give thanks. Let us give praise. And praise the Lord in that state of spirit. I'll tell you what, you'll be reigning with him right now. You won't wait to get over yonder. You won't wait to say, well, I've got to wait till my faith be made sight. Oh, no. Praise God. He wants that faith. The wife hath made herself ready. Praise be to God. Take it. Rejoice. And again I say rejoice. And abide. And endure. And I'll tell you what, you'll finish with a full joy. And that's what God wants for us. All right, let's go on into chapter 12. And Brother Paul begins in chapter 12, I beseech. And I love this word, beseech. I had to go look it up here just a moment ago. In the New Testament, beseech, I believe, is spoken, let's see, 27 times. And 25 of those times, and I should say, when I say 27 times, after the Gospels. So now we get into the book of Acts. But they're all spoken, the 27 times, 25 times in at that time is spoken by Brother Paul. And I thank God for that. And beseech, yes, it is to grab your attention. But it's not, in a sense, in a way that a lot of people like to think, well, he's pleading. Yeah, there's a pleading. But it's more than that. It's to come to my side. Praise God. It's to be comforted. I beseech you. I comfort you. I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. That's the message, is what he's saying. Not in a sense of a follower of me, in a sense to follow Paul, to worship Paul, but you follow the faith of Paul. And that faith, praise God, that most holy faith that is encouraged in the Holy Ghost, Brother Paul is saying, I beseech you. And in that, again, that tenderly call of the apostle to the Gentiles. He's our apostle, brothers and sisters. I thank the Lord. There's some of these nuts running around here. Well, am I an apostle, or I'm a this, and I'm a that? You know, knock that stuff off. Our apostle, by God's grace, to the Gentiles, is Paul. And I thank the Lord that he has appointed him, that he was the vessel, the chief of sinner, isn't that wonderful, to give this wonderful dispensation of the mystery of Christ and the church. And so we're thankful that he's telling us here in this beseech, come, draw near, be comforted of this. You, therefore, isn't that wonderful? How, brethren, so it's individual, it's to the whole. Hallelujah. I love that. It has Jesse's name on this. Got your name on this. You! Hallelujah. Love it. Brethren, by the mercies of God, and it's all mercy that anything that's going to come forth, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I'll tell you what, that is kind of like a whole change, wasn't it? Here we were in these last three chapters and even the chapters before, and here we went into Israel, and then bam! Why is this statement now? I beseech you. Well, it's because we understand now very clearly, He is I am. And I thank the Lord that He is I am. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is so for us, brothers and sisters. And this plan of grace is so magnificent. And His grace is there to perform it all in us. And Brother Paul is saying, so yield. Yield to God. And because of His incredible mercy and what He's done for us. And I'm telling you, as we go back to Romans 8, the incredible mercy that not only are we heirs of God, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's in the offering to us. And this is what He's speaking of here in this yielding. Praise God that, again, we would present or yield our bodies willing to suffer with Him. A sacrifice. That's what that means. Do you see Him going back to Romans 8? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If you'll suffer together with me. Hallelujah. If you suffer together with me. See, this is this sacrifice, brothers and sisters. Holy. Set apart. Because that's the suffering. Is when you allow Him to separate you. Because what does the Word do? It's sharper than any two-edged sword, isn't it? See, man thinks somehow that we physically got to do it on our own. Well, I'm going to go separate myself from God. I'm going to go live in a cave. I'm going to buy a robe and get sandals. I'm telling you, that's how most religious, you know, when people say, oh, that's a holy guy. Holes in your head, pretty much. Holy is set apart to God. All right? And praise the Lord, we know what sets us apart to God. It's not physically going to do something. It's the word of His grace. Let me tell you something. You go after the word of His grace. You go after the whole counsel of God. You're not popular in the camp. You're not. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the Christian camp. You're a kook. You're arrogant. You think you're better than us. You think that you have something that no one else has. No, I have something that Christ Jesus died for every man to have. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full, exact, intimate, entire, complete knowledge of the truth. That's what that is. That's the calling that's upon every man. The only thing is by grace, I took the grace to go. To say, Lord, I want this. You said this. You've delivered this. You've given me the power in the Holy Ghost to have it all, hallelujah, changed from glory to glory in my life. I'll go. Amen. And in that, let me tell you something. That's, praise the Lord, that's the sacrifice. That's the suffering because the Word does it. The Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we know that, brothers and sisters. And it separates us, not only in a sense out from the world and out from Christians. It separates us from families. Oftentimes, it can even separate us in our home. Stand. Stand. And having done all, stand. Praise His name. But we present our bodies or yield, willing to suffer Him a sacrifice. Holy, set apart to Him, well-pleasing is what that means, which in light of all of His grace, with all of this mercy, with all of the riches that He's bestowed, what He's saying here in this, it's your reasonable service, really, if you look at the translation, it's logical. Can you imagine that? Okay, now here's godly logic. His grace and mercy, His incredible love to you, our only response should be yielding. That's logical. That is, praise God, reasonable. Matter of fact, it's obvious. Hallelujah. These are wonderful encouragements to us that we should yield completely to such great love. Amen. That's what it is. He doesn't force us, but because He loves us so incredibly, powerfully, it's the only love there is, The response, brothers and sisters, should be that. And praise the Lord, that's what his grace absolutely does. As grace enlightens the eyes of our understanding in the Word of God, as we see that love, that transformation by grace happens in our life. It's not of me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Praise God. It's the Word, hallelujah, that lives in my life. Now, see, these next few chapters that we're getting into here, they're going to magnify this. And the reason they're going to magnify this and this grace and this response of gratitude and thankfulness to him, it's because of all of the things that were said in the prior 11 chapters. That's exactly what this is. God has shown us this grace and mercy. It's the just shall live by faith, that we're in this realm of grace, that is who we are because of Christ who liveth in me. I thank the Lord that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, don't we? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is every Christian's life. That's it. Praise the Lord. We are not under anything but grace. We live in the realm of grace. Hallelujah. That is our precious abiding. And because of all of this that's been ministered to us, our hearts should respond. And praise God, should want. And those that want it, as God said, he that wills to know will know, they'll receive all that grace, great grace. Remember, he says, I'll have all grace abound to you, having all sufficiency in all things, all ways to super abound to every good work. It's all there, isn't it? I mean, it's been opened up. The gates of the grace flood has been opened up to us. But as Brother Paul said, I am so thankful I have not made the grace of God void in my life. What are you doing with grace? Take it. Hallelujah. That's what grace does. It doesn't give you the excuse to fail or be complacent or forgive. You're already forgiven, nut. You are. Thank God. Grace is the precious promise and the power to overcome and the transformation to happen. But see, brothers and sisters, this is not a duty. I don't want you to think this is our reasonable service. Some people think, oh, that's my duty. I got to get out there and, you know, do this stuff. That's not it. It's a privilege. This is our precious privilege, brothers and sisters, to respond to him in his great grace. That's what it is. I thank the Lord for that. And again, when we see his love and when we receive his love, we realize the privilege of his mercy and grace. Amen. That's why you come to a Bible study. Praise the Lord. That's why you're here. You're responding by grace to take the grace to thank him, to please him. It's impossible to please God without faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And praise God, that's what you're hearing is the word. And in believing that word, because the word works effectually in them that believe, that's powerfully, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, that's the transformation from glory to glory into his image. And we thank God for that. And that is, again, all because of him. We are his workmanship. And when we take that grace and mercy, brothers and sisters, and that grace just becomes our true realization of abiding, we refuse to dwell in the tents of the wicked. We refuse to be conformed to the world. Grace, love draws us out, doesn't it? Have you ever tried to take steps away in your own strength from the things of the world? You go back even deeper. Oftentimes you do. Most times I did. And then it just got more weighty on me because my strength just brought more mess. Well, I'm going to do it and this type of thing. Wait on the Lord. All I can tell you, brothers and sisters, wait on the Lord. And you know what? He's faithful and true. And just be still. Know that he's God. Know again that it's his grace. And he'll perform the good work which he's begun in you. Do you know that? He will. Brother Paul, so sweetly, had them thorns, didn't he? He had them thorns. And he prayed. He said, Lord, take it from me. And he sought the Lord thrice, didn't he? And it was encouraging. He had such a sweet and tender heart. Lord, whatever it is. You know, people say it was a skin ailment. Some people say it was his eyes. I think that's a real cop-out. I think it was even deeper than that. I think we're talking about some real deep issues. But that's the Lord's testimony to me. Okay? And I just leave it there. Because he's searching me. And I thank God he searches me. But he sought the Lord. And he said, Lord, take it from me. Take this thing from me. I want you to take it from me. And the Lord had to so sweetly minister him. Oh, brother, my son, my love, if I took this from you, you would be exalted and not me. You would be magnified. I've got to have these things. And truly, some of these things in our life, brothers and sisters, the enemy's good at them. But it's essential for us to be buffeted. Do you know that? Our utter dependence upon the Lord. But I'm confident in these things, brothers and sisters, as the Lord tells us in his word, the way of escape has already been made. And I just wait on the Lord. And I thank God that I don't need to wrestle with it. Now, there were times in my life I wrestled with some of those things. And God in his faithfulness, he delivered. But now I'm beginning to put away those childish things. And as we enter into these new trials and these things, again, that he's dealing in my life, oh, it's some of the greatest glory to just wait on the Lord. Oh, there's some people that get really worried about those things in my life. And I just tell them, I don't think you should, but if that's going to be your occupation, I guess you can sit there and worry. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it for your life either. And I pray you know I don't. God's given me a heart of a pastor for you. And a pastor's heart would have to be his heart, wanting the perfect will of God in your life. And we wait, and we wait on the Lord. We lift each other up in prayer, but I'm confident that he knows what he's doing. I'm confident that he's given you every infirmity that's in your life. Now, I'm not by any means or stretch of the imagination encouraging you to yield to any type of ungodliness. But I am going to encourage you in this, fight the good fight of faith. And I thank the Lord for that. Let's get back to it. So, it's his grace, brothers and sisters, that draws us away from the things of the world. And instead, be ye transformed. Isn't that wonderful? Be transformed. Be. I love it. It's interesting how it's said and what this really means and what this is emphasizing here. You already are transformed. You already are. Now be. Remember? Grace dwellers? Huh? Be. This isn't speaking here of the changed from glory to glory. This is getting you to settle down. Be. Amen. Listen to this. Christ lives in you. You are the new creation and nothing else. So once again, brothers and sisters, he is just encouraging us to be. Listen. Be holy. As I am holy. Praise God. But see, the reality of who we are in Christ, brothers and sisters, will never be fully lived until the next part, what he encourages us in, is until our mind is renewed. All right? Now, wait a second. No, let's listen to the word of God. Be transformed. So again, be who you are in Christ. But you'll never fully be who you are in Christ until the mind is renewed. And that word renewed means completely renovated. Isn't that something? Completely changed. What is our verse? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the mind. Here's the mind. This is the mind of Christ. It's the Word. Hallelujah. See, the Word, brothers and sisters, that reigning, hallelujah, the very mind of Christ, let this Word be in you. And yes, He does live in me, but I'm talking about the mind, the headship of Christ, reigning. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I'll be transformed. Yes, I will. The things of earth, as we sing, grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. That's the mind of Christ. That is, hallelujah, the mind of His Word. And the mind of Christ is captivated with one thing, His Word. Isn't that wonderful? It is, because that is the mind of Christ. Christ Jesus is the Word. There's no difference. See, we try to, He's all these things, but He's I am. I am. And it's the Word, and it's the Word to us. And I thank God how much, you know, people, and again, speaking with that precious sister here before he's coming out, you know, to see Jesus. Oh, I want my eyes to see Him. No, you see Him by faith. And we do. When faith may be made sight, wonderful. I'll see my Lord. I'll touch Him and all of that. But this is the most precious to Him, to see Him by faith. And isn't that wonderful on that Mount Transfiguration? They saw Christ. They saw Him. And they saw Him up there. And they'd been with Him. And they touched Him. And they held Him. And they laid their head upon His breast. But there they had seen Him. And then the other two disappeared as God set it straight. But again, what did He say to him? He didn't say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. See Him." "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." It's always going to be the Word. It's always going to be by faith. That's it. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." That's the Word. Praise God. All right. So, completely transformed, and we'll wrap it up here. Completely transformed in our minds means the new man, Christ, reigns, reckons, counts. The Word of God sums it all up. The old man is dead. Our realm is completely grace to grow. Quit thinking. It's funny, just the other day I was thinking about something, trying to reason it, and it was just like a sweeping of joy just came right across my heart. "Thank you, Lord." Dead. Dead. The new man lives. I don't even need to think about this. And it was just such a precious rejoicing with my Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those simple things that are so deep. But our realm is completely grace to grow. We're not conformed or patterned after this world, because we are now sons and we are now the citizens of heaven. And praise God, we're getting ready to reign. And we're reigning now. But it's in that embrace of grace and complete thankfulness. See, when you embrace the grace, you become completely thankful. And you're thankful for His unmerited favor, aren't you? Isn't that what it is? Isn't it wonderful? I was just singing before I came here. I had to sit down, and I hadn't played the piano for quite some time. "He's more than wonderful." Oh, man. And I'm just going to sing this. And man, no, son, we're going to worship this. And I was way. When I hit that part about when I think of who He is and who I am. Oh, He's more than wonderful. More than marvelous,
miraculous. Oh my goodness, this is what this is. And when that really hits us, we grow with that mind. See, that's the mind of Christ. We grow up and we grow from the good. Good's wonderful stuff. The acceptable, oh, that's even more wonderful stuff. But then, praise God, the perfect will of God. And that's what we're feasting on. That's the mind that feasts on Paul's gospel. That's the perfect will of God. That you would grow up into him in all things. That you would run to attain, fully purposed, to finish with joy. To be in that place, to rule and reign of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what is that? Oh, that's perfect, complete fullness. Hallelujah. Now there's no denying, brothers and sisters, what God is after in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Spiritual perfection, the highest, the exalted rank of righteousness, the winners of the race, the pearl of great price, to the measure, the fullness, the stature of Christ, unto a perfect man, grown up into him in all things, all by the word of his grace. And that's the goal. That's his goal. That's how he sees us. That's what he wants for us. And as we go on, if the Lord tarry, we're going to see, beginning in the third verse, the evidence of grace. The power of the magnificent grace. The wonderful changing from glory to glory into the very image of him. Praise be to God. Let's stand and be dismissed.